ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये। नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, Chapter 5, entitled Narada's Instructions on Srimad Bhagavatam, Text 23. Aham puratita bhave bhavam mune, dasyastu kasyas chana veda vadinam, nirupito balaka eva yoginam, shushrushane, Pravrishi Nirvivikshatan. O Muni, in the last millennium, I was born as a son of a certain maidservant engaged in the service of Brahmanas who were following the principles of Vedanta. When they were living together during the 4 months of the rainy season, I was engaged in their personal service. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The wonder of an atmosphere surcharged with devotional service to the Lord is briefly described herein by Sri Narada Muni. He was a son of a most insignificant parentage. He was not properly educated. Still, because his complete energy was engaged in the service of the Lord, he became an immortal sage. Such is the powerful action of devotional service. The living entities are the marginal energy of the Lord, and therefore they are meant for being properly utilized in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. When this is not done, one's situation is called Maya. Therefore, the illusion of Maya is at once dissipated as soon as one's full energy is converted in the service of the Lord instead of in sense enjoyment. From the personal example of Sri Narada Muni in his previous birth, it is clear that the service of the Lord begins with the service of the Lord's bona fide servants. The Lord says that the service of his servants is greater than his personal service. Service of the devotee is more valuable than service of the Lord. One should therefore choose a bona fide servant of the Lord, constantly engaged in his service, accept such a servant as the spiritual master, and engage himself in his service, the spiritual master's service. Such a spiritual master is a transparent medium by which to visualize the Lord, who is beyond the conception of the material senses. By service of the bona fide spiritual master, the Lord consents to reveal himself in proportion to the service rendered. Utilization of the human energy in the service of the Lord is the progressive path of salvation. The whole cosmic creation becomes at once identical with the Lord as soon as the service in relation with the Lord is rendered under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master. The expert spiritual master knows the art of utilizing everything to glorify the Lord, and therefore under his guidance the whole world can be turned into the spiritual abode by the divine grace of the Lord's servant. ഓം അജ്ഞാനതിമിരാന്ധസ്യ ജ്ഞാനാഞ്ജനശലാകയാ ചക്ഷൂരുന്മീലിതം യേന തസ്മൈ ശ്രീഗുരവേ നമഃ. ശ്രീചൈതന്യമനോഭീഷ്ടം സ്ഥാപിതം യേന ഭൂതലേ സ്വയം രൂപഃ കദാ മഹ്യം ദദാതി സ്വപദാന്തികം. വന്ദേഹം ശ്രീഗുരുഃ ശ്രീയുതാപദകമലം ശ്രീഗുരൂന് വൈഷ്ണവാംശ്ച ശ്രീരൂപം സാഗ്രജാതം സഹഗണരഘുനാഥാൻവിതം ദം സജീവം സാദ്വൈതം സാവധൂതം പരിജനസഹിതം കൃഷ്ണചൈതന്യദേവം ശ്രീരാധാകൃഷ്ണപാദാന് സഹഗണലലിതാ ശ്രീവിശാഖാൻവിതാംശ്ച. ഹേ കൃഷ്ണ കരുണാസിന്ധോ ദീനബന്ധോ ജഗത്പതേ ഗോപേശ ഗോപികാകാന്ത രാധാകാന്ത നമോസ്തുതേ. തപ്ത കാഞ്ചന ഗൗരാംഗീ രാധേ വൃന്ദാവനേശ്വരീ വൃഷഭാനുസുതേ ദേവി പ്രണമാമി ഹരിപ്രിയേ. വാഞ്ഛാകൽപ്പതരുഭ്യശ്ച കൃപാസിന്ധുഭ്യ ഏവ ച പതിതാനാം പാവനേഭ്യോ വൈഷ്ണവേഭ്യോ നമോ നമഃ. ജയ ശ്രീ കൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭോ നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധർ ശിവാസദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദ. ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ, ഹരേ രാമ ഹരേ രാമ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ. ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ. ഫ്യൂ വീക്സ് ബാക്ക് ഹിസ് ഗ്രേസ് ഭുരിജൻ പ്രഭു ഇസ് വൺ ഓഫ് വെരി അർലിയർ ഡിസൈപ്പിൾസ് ഓഫ് ശ്രീല പ്രഭുപാദ് അലോങ് വിത്ത് ഹിസ് ഗുഡ് വൈഫ് ജഗത്താരിണി മാതജി ഹാഡ് കം ടു രാധാ ഗോപിനാഥ് മന്ദിർ മുംബൈ ആൻഡ് he arranged for a retreat at our farm for 2 days and he conducted a beautiful seminar which was called the greatest journey life balancing seminar. And he specifically requested that he wouldn't speak just like Bhagavatam class. He would like to speak it during the retreat where there will be no videos, no cameras, no recording, nothing. Right amidst nature he is going to discuss, because sometimes too many things externalize our consciousness. So he said the purpose of this retreat is to go within, go a little deeper, to introspect and focus on our own life's journey and find out, are we properly balanced? So he actually spoke, I think, 8 hours, 2 hour session, 4 hours, I mean 4 sessions of 2 hours each. And there was a 3-hour practical demonstration of how to balance our life. It was quite substantial. But even though he said that this should be done when we are totally away from everything and totally focused, but still there were so many jewels of deep realization that he shared during this seminar that I was so eager to share it with more devotees. So I just wrote down. It's very difficult for me to copy down because it's not supposed to record. I'm supposed to copy down, but I was. This happens many times to devotees, you know. Sometimes devotees, every word is like deep, hardcore realization. Every statement is like a sutra. And you want to listen and relish it at the same time. You don't want to lose it. And most of the times I've seen people record, and that because you have recorded, you're not attentive during this time. I can always hear the record and you never hear it. So I think it's better in the Vedic times that you get it or you lose it. So people were really desperate, and at least that consciousness I got and that realization I got during those seminars. And then I was trying to reflect on what he had spoken. So I don't have the whole thing, but I got the main substance and I added a few of my own things, but to connect those points. So he actually discussed the whole life of Narada Muni in his previous life, from the son of a maid servant, a humble, insignificant, fallen position, how in the same lifetime he achieved the ultimate perfection of life of being an eternal, constant associate of the Lord. And he was a son of a Shudra, Kalau Shudra Sambhava. We are all Shudras basically in Kali Yuga. How any one of us can attain the ultimate perfection of life in this very lifetime, if Mahajano Yenagata Sabantha, if you follow in the footsteps of such exalted personalities, and in fact, Narada told this at the beginning of Kali Yuga to Vyasadeva, who had compiled so many other Vedic literatures for gradual elevation of mankind. But right at the outset, Narada chastised him. In fact, he used very strong words, as befits a spiritual master, to chastise a disciple. Shishi Radha Gokulananda Bhagavan ki. Shishi Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai Shri Gaurinathai. He said, in the name of Dharma, you have given so much compromised philosophy. You have actually given sense gratification sprinkled with some devotion. He said, now throw all this and now write a literature which gives the substance. Right at the outset, Dharma Projita Kaitavotra Paramo Nirmat Saranam Sadam. Right at the outset, Bhagavatam kicks out everything. And Bhagavatam is meant for those people, serious people, who really want to achieve the perfection of life in this journey. Life is a long journey. And the perfection of life is attained when we follow in the footsteps of those who did achieve. So these few verses in the fifth chapter of the Bhagavatam describes Narada's personal endeavor in this journey. So, why does he call it a journey? Because it is a journey to the perfection of life. Human life is meant for self-realization, not for anything else. So this is a journey of Narada in his previous life as a son of a Shudra to his perfection. And because he's a Mahajan, if we follow in the footsteps, we can also hope that someday at least we will achieve this perfection. Vyasa asked him, how did you come to Krishna consciousness? One time Ravindra Swarup Prabhu was discussing in Vrindavan, he was giving a class. He said, in the early BTGs, one of the most favorite section of everyone was this reading this particular article, how I came to Krishna consciousness. It's amazing stories, how people came to Krishna consciousness. The origin is here. When Vyasadeva asked his guru, Narada, how did you come to Krishna consciousness? And this is a story. But then he said, I think now this devotee should write, rather than how I came to Krishna consciousness, how I stayed in Krishna consciousness. That's most important. So, of course, I would say, if someone after us writes how he died in Krishna consciousness, that would be the perfection of life. Antakale cha mameva smaran muktva kalevanam yah prayati samad bhavam nyati nastyatra samshay. If somehow or other in this lifetime, at least this one lifetime, as Srila Prabhupada said, if he can till the last breath chant our 16 rounds, follow four regularity principles, like Dhruv Maharaj, the aeroplane from Vaikuntha came, he said, wait, I'll finish my rounds and then I'll come up. Sometimes people talk of, you know, bhava bhakti. But he said, I finish my sadhana and then I'll climb the plane. So therefore, this is a journey. And many lessons can be learnt from this journey of Narada Muni. These are like big, huge, clear signposts which help us in our travel so that we don't get diverted, we don't get lost with improper priorities in life, but stay focused. Very hardcore, deep principles of Krishna consciousness can be got through scrutinizing study of Narada Muni's life and Srila Prabhupada's purports. Narada Muni perfected his life by hearing from the Bhaktivedantas. Similarly, we can also perfect our lives if we scrutinizingly study the purports, which are the ecstasies of Srila Prabhupada. Now, I would like to ask you a question. When someone tells you that I'm on a journey, what's the first aspect of the journey? Exactly, right? Everyone agrees to that. So anyone says, if someone says, I'm going on a tour, where? Nobody asks how you're going. That comes later. How far is it? How much time does it take? The first thing is, where? So, no goal, no journey. Without a goal, where's the question of this journey? So therefore, first and foremost, we have to be very clear about what's the real goal of life? What have we to achieve? Where are we to go? Then everything can be adjusted accordingly. Without knowing the goal, we cannot move further. Just like if you ask someone, should I turn left or right? He said, tell me where you want to go. Otherwise, how can I tell you whether you want to turn left or right or back or forth? And once the goal is clear, then the next thing is, where am I right now? If you know where you are right now, where you're supposed to go, how much time I have at my disposal, what is the distance to be traveled, then things fall into proper perspective. So therefore, we have to realize, where am I? Full of faults, full of limitations, full of shortcomings. And where am I to go? Golok Vrindavan. But everyone is a perfect devotee. It's a long distance. Then we can make appropriate changes in our life in terms of the direction, so that we can move ahead and be assured that we are at least in the right track, even if slow, but at least on the right track. So it's a long and arduous journey from who we think we are to who we actually are. Who we think we are. Ishwaroham, aham bhogi, siddhoham, balavan sukhi, aham, 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 aham. To manmanavho madbhakto madhyaji mam namaskur. Gopi bharturpada kamalayor das das anudas. From being the boss to being the das. It's a long journey. It is a journey from the land of Kama to the land of Prema. Arjuna asks Krishna, Atha kena prayuktoyam papam charati purushah anichhannapi vashneya baladiva niyojita. Impelled by what, O Krishna, is a person forced to commit all kinds of sinful activities, knowing fully well that it is not conducive to the goal that he has set? Krishna says, Kama yesha, krodha yesha, rajoguna samudbhava, mahashano mahapapma vidhyenam. It's lust only, Arjun, which is born of the mode of ignorance and later transformed into wrath, which is the all-devouring sinful enemy of this world, of everyone. Trividam narakasyedam dwaram. It's actually diverting us from our direction. Trividam narakasyedam dwaram nashanam atma. Kama krodha tatha lobha. Therefore Krishna says, right at the outset, give up these three royal highway to hell. Lust, anger and greed. So from the land of Kama, so much drowned in it, to a land of Prema. Ashklishyava padaratam vinashtumam adarshanan marmahatam karotuva. It's a long journey. From the land of doubting to the land of faith. Material science begins with doubt. Conjectural statements. So material science begins with doubt, whereas spiritual science begins with faith. Adoshraddha. So it's a basic paradigm shift that we have to do if we have to move across. There are two directions. Mrityu samsara vartmani and apavarga vartmani. Ashraddhadhana purusha dharmasyasya parantapa aprapyamam nivartante mrityu samsara vartmani. Vartmani means direction. Mrityu samsara vartmani. Pavarga vartmani. Parishram, suffering and so much. So, Ashraddhadhana, those who don't have faith, who are doubting everything because of lack of thorough understanding of scripture, lack of proper association, always doubting, mrityu samsara vartmani. They're going down towards the cycle of repeated, the land of maithunya agara, simply repetition of birth and death. But satam prasanga mama virya samvido bhavanti hritkarana rasayana gatha tad joshanad ashu apavarga vartmani. Apavarga vartmani, towards the direction of liberation. Shraddha ratir bhakti anukramishati. Gradual movement towards, from Shraddha to Prema. It's a long journey where we are full of oneself. We are full of ourselves to a place where we are full, one should be full of Krishna. Manmana bho mat bhakto madhyajima satatam kirtayantuma kirtaniya sadahari. So therefore, if we analyze, it's a very long journey. Sometimes we think of Krishna, by the way, because we are supposed to do it, to a place, to a situation where we are absolutely absorbed in Krishna. An expert physician knows the disease just by holding the pulse. He doesn't need an x-ray, doesn't need anything. Just touch the pulse and tells you exactly what is wrong where. Similarly, Bhurijan Prabhu was explaining, just by one little symptom you can know how diseased we are. He was explaining, today, just ask somebody's name. What's your name? Generally, people introduce themselves by their first name. John, Henry, here, or maybe there, Ram, Sham, whatever. Even if they say Ram, okay. Pintu, or some kind of name, Chintu. So, this type of, this just speaking, introducing ourselves by the first name, he says, it shows a type of consciousness dissociated in relationship. I don't know how it's here, but in India, people have at least minimum three names. The first name is the place where they come from, their native place. The second name is their father's name. And the third name is the person's name. So in one sense, if you tell your name, the passport is very difficult to fill, you know. Very difficult for others to read that names because all kinds of pending in the valley. So practically, when you spoke your name, you know who your father is, you know where you come from. But when you say just the first name, it shows a sign, it's a sign of how dissociated we are from any kind of relationships. There was one lady actually who came to our seminar, and one of our new brahmacharis was sitting and registering. So he asked this lady, your name, ma'am? She said something, first name, she said. What's your surname? What have you to do with it? She was so wild. Why do you want to know my husband's name? Why do you want to know my father's name? You just write my name. You're concerned with me, right? He said, all right. All right. People just don't want to be related, connected with anything. Why they are? There's so much about self. Whereas one devotee was expressing once that Hamsadutta Prabhu, when he was Prabhupada was, you know, sitting with all his disciples and explaining each one's name, what it means. So he was explaining everyone, Gargamuni, Brahmananda, whatever. And then when it came to Hamsadutta Prabhu, he said, Prabhupada, what is the meaning of Hamsadutta? Prabhupada just neglected, he did answer and went to the next one. So he was waiting for an opportunity. After a few more, some months later, again Prabhupada was explaining some names. Again, Hamsadutta Prabhu asked, Prabhupada, what is the meaning of Hamsadutta? I don't know the exact what he said, but he said, your name is Hamsadutta Das. Focus on the second name, not on the first. You are Das. Remember that. That's more important. You are a servant and servant of Krishna. Jivaya Swarupoye Krishna Renitya Das. It involves transformation to the very core of our existence. And therefore, it's very, very difficult. Even in spiritual life, even when we come to the spiritual life, Purijan Prabhu very nicely described. He said, we have a childish conception of a lollipop land. Just like, you know, children, when you speak to them about the journey, they think, we're going to travel and going to go like this and there will be a house of cakes. It's like a fairy tale land. But actually people know when you go get into the journey, there are going to be so many problems that may come up and you have to be prepared for all kinds of unexpected things that may happen in a journey. So similarly, when we start, chant and be happy. So people have this conception that I'll have absolutely no problem. Everything will be smooth, no anxiety. Perfect wife, obedient children. Every evening it'll rain, pounds from the sky, and early morning I just have to pick up and just move along life. Why? Because I'm chanting Hare Krishna. He said in Delhi temple, there was a beautiful banner. Read Bhagavad Gita for a tension-free life. That's good. It's all right. You don't have any material tension. But then after you come to Krishna consciousness, and this is first time Krishna, of course, is a best salesman, you see. He gives you free installments, some free samples. And then you're like, what a bliss, what prasad. Everyone is a pure devotee. And then suddenly, why he said this? and you really start wondering, did I take the right step in coming to Krishna consciousness? And then he was telling, this is not Vrindavan. It's a typical way of Purujan Prabhu. This is not Vrindavan. He said, in Vrindavan, there are always demons attacking. It's full of anxiety. Krishna is dancing on the hoods of Kali and Mother Yashoda is fainting out of anxiety. desperate. People are desperately trying to take shelter of the Lord. Every day there's another demon attacking. Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains what these demons are. Do represent also. Mother Yashoda is ready to die a million times to save Krishna from one drop of sweat. She's ready to die a million deaths. The gopis are ready to eternally go to hell if that's what it takes to stop Krishna's headache for even 1 second, relieve Krishna's headache for 1 second. This is the land that is our goal. Not this lollipop land. Sukha sampati ghar aave kashta mite tanaka. So, two things in a journey he was expressing was very important. One is the clear understanding of the goal. The goal should be burning brightly in front of us. It's like, thanks to today's advertisement industry, to catch attention, they have these backlit boards, you know, even in the middle of the night. Such powerful, and it emphasizes, it enhances the main thing, message that they want to send. So like that, the goal should be, you know, we should put it on a backlit board. Even at night, it should be glowing. It should be like a fire. It should glow clearly. So he says, the first thing is, keep the goal fixed in mind. And the second thing is, balance yourself so that you move towards that. Always make sure that you're not going too much this way or that way. He was telling a very beautiful story. He said, once there was a king. He had two very good friends. And it so happened that once, both of his dear friends were caught in some big scandal. And they were brought before the king, produced before the king. The king didn't want to punish him because they were his friends. But then he had to because they were caught red-handed. So ultimately he decided on a very good plan. He tied a rope, tight rope, between one huge tall building to the other. And he took them on top of one building and he told them, you walk on this rope across to the other building. If you reach the building, you are excused. And if you don't, I am not responsible. So these two people were standing. Just imagine, huge multi-storied buildings and one rope tied between this place to that place. And they have to walk. It's a tightrope walk. So suddenly they became Vaishnavas. You first. No, you first. No, you first. They didn't want to be the first. Forced etiquettes. So anyway, one of them decided, anyway, we have to go. So he decided, I'll be the first. And he took the first step, quite shaky, took next one, and the next one, and the next one, and the next one. And this person was watching from behind. He says, he's almost making it. And this way, he actually made it to the next building. And the second person who was standing behind was shocked and surprised. He said, how did you make it? I never saw you walking straight. How did you walk through this? And the first person said, I just focused on two things. My whole focus was, I have to reach that place, that building. I was only focused on that goal. And when the wind was moving me too much this side, I was giving a jerk like this. And it was moving me too much this side, I was just giving a jerk. And somehow I balanced myself to stay on that rope. And I was fixed on the goal and I managed to simply stay on the rope. That's all. I just balanced myself this way, that way. And therefore I could just make it. So he was telling how many a times we get so much caught up with things that we lose sight of the goal. And so many other priorities come in our life. Until and unless we scrutinizingly study scripture, here in proper association, what is the goal? What are we here for? Where are we heading? Are we moving towards that or not? If we don't stay focused, it is impossible. Because the nature of the world is, it will just put us off balance. Unless you're focused. And the second thing is, to remain balanced. On one hand, you have immature, fanatic ideas about what devotion is. It should be like this, it should be like this. And on the other hand, you have so many compromises in the name of, come on, we have to be practical. So in the name of practical, you go practically away from the whole course. So how to balance? That's why Rupa Goswami says, Niyamagraha. Agraha means to neglect, and agraha means simply doing for the sake of doing without remaining focused. So, if we have that balance and stay focused, so then it's very easy. And therefore, sometimes he was explaining why this kind of retreats are required, where you everything else external, because the whole material world is simply Maya, is pulling us external. There's practically no time to go within and just take a inventory of your own heart. I remember when I was very young, 5, 6, maybe school age, 5th, 6th standard, means 10, 12 years, we used to sleep on the rooftop on summer, and I used to see the sky, and I used to wonder, you know, sky in a box, what is outside this sky? Is there something else? What after that? At least some thoughts like that. But now we see, practically people have no time to even look at the sky. First of all, there are skyscrapers. you don't look at the sky. And even if there is a sky, there's no time for people. Just to make the two ends meet, we are getting so caught up that you don't know why you're doing what you're doing. You're doing because everyone is doing. And therefore, if you don't do it, you will be something wrong with you. So sometimes we get so caught up. And after this whole seminar, Niranjan Maharaj also spoke a few words about the whole seminar as such. He was telling how it is important, especially for, it's for every devotee, but especially for those in a leadership position, to be properly balanced and centered. Because the more people we get connected to, the more chance of being thrown off balance. People have their needs, interests and concerns, and you have to address all of them. Especially if you're taking care of devotees, if you're taking care of things, it's a fact. So that may put us off balance. And therefore, until and unless, especially as leaders, if we are not focused and if we are not properly centered, we can't do full justice. And he was telling, we shouldn't be bogged down, as Prabhupada writes in the 7th canto, I was recently reading Prahlad Maharaj's prayers, we shouldn't be bogged down by unnecessary necessities. Prabhupada uses this word, unnecessary necessities. Only those who are centered can give shelter to others, can guide others, can care for others. Otherwise, if you yourself are not balanced and centered, how can you actually guide others? How can you give shelter to others? You can't help others without being balanced yourself. He wrote this book, Niranjan Maharaj wrote this book, Taking Care of Krishna's Devotees. And he was telling, literally hundreds of copies, again and again they had to print it, have been sold out. And he said, it's not because the content, but just because of the title. taking care of Krishna's devotees. How to take care of devotees? They are so important. They are so precious. They are so rare souls. So he said, just by the title, the books are selling in ISKCON circles. How to take care of Krishna's devotees. And that can't be possible if you are not maturely focused and balanced in our own life. By coming in contact, even for a moment, in association with a person who is focused and who is perfectly centered, all our illusions are dissipated and our center is realized immediately. Our focus is realized immediately. Many, many disciples of Prabhupada have expressed, just by a moment's association with such a focused man, such a balanced, such a mature person. Bodhichand Prabhu writes in his book, My Glorious Spiritual Master. He was a very analytical person. He would judge a person, you know. So, the first time he met Srila Prabhupada, something nearby, he was asked to come for a morning walk. So he went for a morning walk and he knew that Prabhupada, you know, is a great devotee, a pure devotee of the Lord. So he was thinking, let me see how a pure devotee talks, walks, sits. Just like Arjuna asked, you know, Sita Pragyasya ka bhasha samadhistasya kesa. So he was actually analyzing. So while walking, Prabhupada came to a traffic signal. So Bhurijan Prabhu was thinking, let me see, is he an idealist? Will he wait till the, you know, red turns to green? Or will he just walk straight away? Transcendental person, you know, transcendental to all the rules and regulations. And sometimes we do, you know, in the initial years, we are transcendental to all these rules, you know, we are Gauranga's army. And in the name, he justified so many things. So he was thinking, let me see how he's. And Prabhupada walked, and it was still red. Prabhupada looked to the right, no vehicle. Looked to the left, again looked to the right, there was no vehicle anywhere. He crossed the road. Bhurijan Prabhu said, this is the most practical man. He will follow the rules if required, but he is very focused. He has to cross. So if it's not traffic, don't worry about all this. So, yeah. So, with a even moment's association with a personality who is very focused and perfectly balanced, and by even without a word being spoken, just by that association, we can be more centered, we can be more focused. And what guides us in this journey, in this long and arduous journey, what guides us in this journey are the Shastras. Therefore, the Shastras are so important. Srila Prabhupada, whole day he would guide and manage the society. But whole night he spent, his quality time he spent in trying to write these scriptures. Because these are like the compass pointing to the north. He read a very beautiful verse from the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, 2nd chapter, text 31. Maybe some other time, if you have time, you can go through this. Very beautiful verse, where the demigods are praying to Lord Krishna within the womb of Mother Devaki. They say, Swayam samuttirya sudustaran dhyuman bhavarnavam bhimam adabhra sauhrda bhavat padambhoruha navamatrate nidhaya yata sat anugruhu bhavan. O Lord, who resemble the shining sun, you are always ready to fulfill the desire of your devotee, and therefore you are known as a desire tree, vancha kalpataru. When acharyas completely take shelter under your lotus feet in order to cross the fierce ocean of nations, they leave behind on earth the method by which they cross. And because you are very merciful to your other devotees, you accept this method to help them. Prabhupada writes in the purport, this statement reveals how the merciful acharyas and the merciful supreme personality of Godhead together help the serious devotee who wants to return home back to Godhead. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in his teachings to Srila Rupa Goswami, said, Brahmanda Bhramide Kona Bhagyavana Jeev, Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhaktilata Beej. One can achieve the seed of bhakti, devotional service, by the mercy of Guru and Krishna. The duty of the Guru is to find the means according to the time, the circumstances and the candidate by which one can be induced to render devotional service which Krishna accepts from a candidate who wants to be successful in going back home, back to Godhead. After wandering throughout the universe, a fortunate person within this material world seeks shelter of such a guru or acharya who trains the devotee in the suitable ways to render service according to the circumstances so that the Supreme Personality of Godhead will accept service. This makes it easier for the candidate to reach the ultimate destination. The acharya's duty, therefore, is to find the means by which devotee may render service according to references from Shastra. Rupa Goswami, for example, in order to help subsequent devotees, published such devotional books such as Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. It's very interesting. Bhakti Siddhanta Sarathi Thakur, way back, made a very interesting statement. He said, what a shame that Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is locked up in India and not spread to the whole world. What a shame. So Prabhupada could understand it, and therefore he wrote the whole summary. It is a complete science of devotional service. And he distributed it profusely. This is the duty of the acharyas, to publish books that will help future candidates take up the method of service and become eligible to return home back to Godhead by the mercy of the Lord. In our Krishna consciousness movement, the same path is being prescribed and followed. Thus, the devotees have been advised to refrain from four sinful activities, illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating and gambling, and to chant 16 rounds a day. These are bona fide instructions. This is very important. These are bona fide instructions. Acharyas, they see a very broad perspective. And therefore, according to time frame and circumstance, they see from a point of view of eternity. And therefore, they can guide according to time, place and circumstance properly. Just like sometimes a little child or a son has a problem and he goes to the father or the grandfather, and the grandfather laughs at it. I also face like this, but you know, this happens. You know. Oh, I thought the sky has fallen on your head. No, it falls on everyone's head every day. Don't worry, this happens. And therefore, Burijan Prabhu was explaining the system of taking care of devotees. A senior person taking care of somebody else. And so, I'm having this problem, I can't deal with this person and this family member. Don't worry, this happens. This is a very common thing. So sometimes we are, it's like, you know, horse with bleepers or something, blinkers. So you're just so focused on your own problem, you think that it just can't be handled. And then someone says, no, he just removes the blinker. There's a big world and everyone is having similar, don't worry, go ahead. All right, I'll just. So, the Shastra are the Gaudiya Vaishnava heritage, especially Srila Prabhupada's books. To seek guidelines about the goal of life and how to reach there, very, very comprehensive. Or else we have to find out for ourselves. And that's going to be, you know, the school of hard knocks is very difficult. Life is too short. Alpayushaha. Mandaha sumandamatayu mandabhagyahi. We have no time to understand all the scriptures, study all the grammar, read through all the Vedic literatures, break our head against the Upanishadic statements. The Lord is outside and inside and still not anywhere, and you know, things like that. Tadejati tad nejati tad dure tad vantike tad antarasta sarvasa. Absolutely to the rational, scientific brain. And the first thing is just breaks down. So, unless we have systematic understanding, it's very difficult. Ravindra Swarup Prabhu expressed, it seems, one time, that in the early days, Srila Prabhupada was the only mature adult. Everyone in the movement was just, you know, 16, 17 year old teenagers. And if you're a very senior devotee, because he joined 15 days before, every day counted, because, you know. And this person was a, and suddenly that person became a, he's a sannyasi, he's a leader, he's a temple president, just because he's just 6 months ahead. He's like very, very mature and senior, knows everything about Krishna consciousness. So he was explaining how a surgeon who is well versed with the theory can't straight away wield a knife. Just imagine if you want to have a heart surgery and you're going to a surgeon who says, I have completely read all the books of surgery, and today is the first person that you are, come along, I'm going to try it out. I know everything. I said, I better. So he said, during this time, there were so many scars left. Because there were some people were wielding knives, theoretically, but they hadn't deep realization of the practical applications. And so the person who was wielding and the person who was on the other end, both had to go through some difficult times. But Purisan Prabhu said, now I'm an old man, now I'll advise differently. After 30, 40 years of the movement, now in the same situation, probably I will advise differently. But we want to make sure that no future devotees should have these unnecessary scars. The basis of all these are the Shastras. Also understand, he said, nothing happens by chance in Vrindavan. There's nothing by chance. And he said, look for the little hints that come from Krishna. If we are very attentive and very observant, then Krishna sends so many little messages every day, every moment, for us to get proper directions. But if you are so blind to it, then he has to shout loudly. That's a little difficult also. So we don't expect the cloud to crack and you say, high time you should start chanting 16 rounds again. Akashwani will not come. It's just small hints from your god brothers or things like that. Anyone can speak. And you, if you can take that message and move ahead, that will be very helpful. And of course, he said, pray to Guru, pray to Vyasdev, pray to Narada, pray to Srila Prabhupada. And in this way, we can move ahead in this journey. So, we have not yet begun the journey. Maybe I can discuss maybe one verse.